Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited about the word of the Lord this morning. Let's see if we can dive into it and see what God has to say to us today. We are in the Gospel of Luke, this morning. We're in the 9th chapter, the Gospel of Luke, verse 57 through 62. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we got it. We got it. Luke 9, verse 57 to 62. Please attend with me to God's holy word. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes," he said, "and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Return with me briefly to the 61st verse. Another said to him, "I will follow you, Jesus, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let us pray. God, we come to you with our whole lives right now. We come to you not just with our church face on. We come to you not just with the things that we bring into your house, God, but we come to you with our whole lives. What we feel like on Tuesday, we bring to you now. What we worry about on Thursday, God, that's what we bring to your altar. What's in us during the week, God, that's what we bring to you, because, God, we know you are the God of our whole lives. Some of us can say that we need you, God. We need a word from you. We need your word to come in and transform us, that we are still yet longing to be made new the way you said you were going to do. And so, God, we give you this time. I pray that your people would hear a message from you, that they would not see the messenger, but they would hear what you have to say, God, and that you would get whatever in me needs to get out of the way so that your word can come forth. Because, God, your word, when your word does its work, God, when your word does its work, we get up when we couldn't get up before. We stand tall where we were lying down before, God. Mountains move, stones roll. When your word, God, does its work, chains break, we change, we come alive. Your word is what we need, God. You're what we came for. We love you and we praise you and we give our attention to you in this moment. It's in your mighty name that we say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back. Many of you know that I recently moved from Manhattan to Brooklyn. Yay! So I can be closer to y'all. God is good. It's been a beautiful move, but I recently made the big transition from Manhattan to Brooklyn. Now, Manhattan and Brooklyn are just separated by a little bit of water, but they are pretty different one from another. People smile here. It's really weird. You get more than 4.5 square inches of sidewalk to yourself. It's very different in Brooklyn than it is in Manhattan. And one thing I've noticed about myself since I've made the move is that sometimes I catch myself bringing Manhattan into Brooklyn. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I look up and I realize I'm being really Manhattan right now, but I'm not in Manhattan anymore. I'm in Brooklyn. So in Manhattan, you're just kind of always in a hurry, just as a given. Right? So you're just in a hurry, even if there's nothing to hurry about. And I've noticed that even though I'm not in Manhattan anymore, I brought that with me. I will be walking down the street, and I will be behind someone. And you know what they're doing? They're doing this thing. It's really unfamiliar to do. They're doing this thing. They're strolling. What is that? The Brooklyn stroll. Like, what? Don't you people have places to be? Like, I don't get it. The Brooklyn stroll. There's a Park Slope stroll. You know what it is? There's a Park Slope stroll. It's called the Park Slope Iced Coffee Stroll. You got your iced coffee in the one hand, you got nothing to do in the other hand. This is the stroll that I'm encountering. And sometimes I notice myself as I'm strolling behind someone who's going at this speed, that I just brought Manhattan into Brooklyn. Even though I have nowhere to be, I'm not in a particular hurry. I'm going to the store is not expecting me at a particular time. But there's people are strolling in front of me and I'm strategizing. Man, how do I get around these people strolling? I mean, maybe if I speed up as they hit the trash can, I can get around them and then I'll be out of their way. I'll be free of this nuisance of people not rushing through their lives. Brought Manhattan into Brooklyn. Or sometimes when I'm at the hospital across the street going to visit someone, I'm at the hospital and I realize I'm also bringing Manhattan into Brooklyn there because I treat the elevator kind of like it's a train in Manhattan, kind of like I'm at 42nd Street at 6:30 p.m. I'm waiting for that thing like, man, where I am late on the way. And when the doors come, I'm cutting in front of people trying to get on the elevator as though if I don't, I'm not going to be able to get a seat. When I get in, I look around, realize there are no seats in elevators. Bringing Manhattan into Brooklyn. Sometimes I'm when the door, my stop comes, the door opens, I rush to the front. Only one rushing, because we're in Brooklyn. People looking at me like, what, is somebody about to die? Is she a surgeon? Why is she in such a hurry? Sometimes I feel like I need to turn around and apologize. I'm sorry I'm acting so strange. It's just that I'm bringing my old life into my new life. I'm bringing Manhattan into Brooklyn. It happens all the time. And it's not so serious when it's we bring something from one borough into another. When we bring our old neighborhood into our new neighborhood, it's not such a big deal. But sometimes what we do is we bring parts of our old lives into the new life that God is trying to give us. We bring what was old about our lives, what wasn't working, what was from before. We take it and we bring it into the new thing that God is trying to do. And this can be very serious. So what do I mean? Well, let's start with an example that's a little easier to understand. What do I mean? So those among us who are the mighty warriors of recovery from addiction, those of us who are brave and bold enough to have fought the fight of addiction and recovered, those of us among us who know that fight, they know that it's easy to bring what was old about your life and to try to bring it into what God is making new. They know the great temptation to keep around, right? Just a little bit of what had you bound. It's easy to do that when you are fighting the fight of recovery and you're getting into what is new for you, but it's easy to want to keep just a little bit of your old life around just in case you need it. Right? Those of us who have fought the battle of recovery, we know that it might not be the same substance. You might take an iteration that's a little bit more subtle. You know you can't mess with the same thing that used to be your change. You can't do that. And so you trade it in for a version that's a little bit more subtle. You might not see another needle in your entire life, but man, the workaholism. You might not go to the same bottle, but some of us know that you can go back to the same codependency to keep around something, some little piece of your old life that used to keep you bound. Some of us know what it's like to keep that with us. No, it's easy to try to bring pieces of the old life into the new. Recovering from addiction is, of course, not everyone's story. Praise God. It's a very difficult battle, but we have all been addicted to something. We are all, in some ways, recovering from something. And many of us know what it's like to be made new, but to find ourselves trying to bring that old life into what God has made new. Some of us were never addicted to anything physical, but we know what it is to have some habits that don't serve us, some dysfunctional things in our lives that we know we don't need anymore, but some part of us just wants to keep a little bit just in case this new life isn't as new as we thought. Maybe it's not something you could buy at the store or at the street, but something that we're recovering from, something that we need to keep away from, but we can't quite do it. Recovering maybe from something bad that happened to us. The bad memories greet us every day in the morning when we're trying to live our new lives, but our minds are going back to what was old. Some of us are recovering from dysfunctional families. Some of us are recovering from things that went wrong in our lives, whether at our own hands or the hands of somebody else, or usually it's a combination of the two. Right? We might not be recovering from something physical, but many of us know what it is to try to bring what's old into what God is trying to make new. when we meet the three gentlemen today that Jesus encounters on his way to Jerusalem, when we meet these three gentlemen that Jesus meets today, we find them in a difficult dance. A difficult dance, this tension in their spirits, and it's something that many of us can relate to. We find them in this place where they want what Jesus is offering, the new life. They've heard of Jesus, and they've heard that he can make all things new, that he comes to wipe away what was before and to create something new in its place. They've heard about this offer. And finally, they see him. They're seeing him in the flesh. He's been famous, but now he's right in front of them, and this offer is before them for a new life. And they want it. Ooh, they want it. It sounds good to them. It sounds like, yes, I do need to be made new. I do need to be made a new creature. That sounds, yes, like what I need. And here they are in front of the one who can do it for them. So they're in this tension, this dance. They have the offer. They have the desire. But something in them can't let go of what came before. Something in them, something about their past is getting in their way into the new life that Jesus is here offering. These men are really representing us today. These men are talking about us and our lives today, the things that we want to bring from our old lives into our new lives, the things that used to have us bound or used to serve us, but they no longer do. And we can see ourselves in these men in this dance. Oh, we want the new life. Man, we name our Women's Day after it, do we not? It's a new day. It's a new you. We might put it on our phone. We might have an image on our lock screen to remind us that we can be made new. We want it. Ooh. But sometimes there it is right in front of us. And something in us is holding us back. We have been made new, those of us who follow the one who makes all things new, who follow the great Redeemer. We have been made new even when we don't feel like it. But many of us know what it's like for the things that came before to get in our way, to find ourselves trying to bring what was before into what is new. This first man who says to Jesus, I will, Jesus, I will. I will go, I promise. I'm going to follow you. I want it. Sounds good to me. I believe it. But first, let me go and bury my father. First, let me go and do this thing. First, let me attend to what is dead in my life. Ooh, many of us know what it's like to have our attention on what is no longer alive for us. Whether it's a relationship, that's an easy example. Some of us stick in relationships that are dead, that are no longer bringing us into the life we were created to live. Why? Because it's comfortable. Why? Because we don't know what else is out there. Sometimes it's a season. It's a job that doesn't have any life in it for us anymore. But ooh, we find our attention on the dead things. A habit, a way we used to be that's calling us back, but it's not the new life that Jesus has for us. Then there's the other gentleman. Jesus says, follow me. He says, I will. I promise, Jesus, I'm going to. But I just need to go back and say goodbye to some things from where I came from. We know, some of us know what it's like to want to walk into what's new. But the things from before, the memories, the shame and the guilt we feel about what went wrong, it's calling our name. And it calls us to come back and say goodbye one more time. Many of us know what this gentleman feels like when he says, I want it, Jesus. I want the new life that you have for me, but something in me is calling me back. Something in me won't let go of me. Something in me is calling me to what was before. I don't know if I can't get out of its grip because it was comfortable. Maybe because it's all I knew. Maybe because it's just the way I've been doing it for so long. But some of us know what it's like to say, Jesus, I do want it, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to what came before. Jesus says, there's no time for that. There's no time for that because God is doing something new in you, and I'm telling you it's a big deal. I'm telling you it's going to blow your mind, this new thing that God is doing. There's no time for that. Jesus says, anyone who puts their hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is a master of metaphor. He chooses this image with great intention. He chooses this image of a plow because he knows that when you're plowing, it doesn't serve you to look back. So I know we got some city people in here. Anybody know what a plow is? Oh, my, Shannon from Stockbridge. She might have seen a plow a few times. Shannon is from where I'm from. A plow, the way it works, there's a blade. The blade is, she said, oh, Lord, we need another country lesson. There's a blade. It's powered by an animal that's in front. And your hands are on the handle of the plow, and that is what is guiding the direction of the plow. There's an animal, a blade, there's you, and there's your hands. And Jesus knew that if your hands are on the plow and you turn around to look back, inevitably, when you turn, you end up tilting the direction of the plow. You end up tilting it, and you lean the plow in the direction it wasn't meant to go, and then the furrow, the path that you're making in the ground, it ends up being crooked. Jesus knew that if you put your hands on the plow and you turn around and look back, there's no way to make it any other way. The plow will then be in the wrong direction, and the thing you're trying to do will turn out crooked. He knew, Jesus, he was a master of metaphor. He knew that there was no way to both look back and plow successfully at the same time. He knew that it just couldn't happen if your hands are on it and you look back. There's no way to do this and to do that at the same time. He knew that we can't look back and go forward at the same time. And he knew this is what it's like in our lives when we're trying to dive into the kingdom life that God is trying to give us, into the new life that God is trying to make for us. We cannot look back and go forward at the same time. But many of us, we find ourselves trying to bring our old lives into our new lives, trying to plow with our hands on the plow, but looking back at the old things that came before. So what does this look like? What does this look like for you? What does this look like for me when our hands are on the plow, but we can't seem to keep our eyes where God is calling us? Well, there's some obvious examples. First one is a little bit, one of the more obvious one. It's when we hold on to old habits. How many know that it's easy to hold on to those things that didn't serve us from before? How many know that it's easy to remember the things that used to be part of our lives, and it's very hard to break those ways that we used to live, the behaviors, the thoughts that used to characterize our lives before we met the one who makes all things new? It's easy to think of the obvious things, right? The substances, the promiscuity, those things are easy for us to come to our minds. Why? Because they usually happen to other people. Easier to think about those things that don't necessarily characterize our lives, those habits that are hard to break. Oh, but we all have some. We all have some habits that do not serve us. They might not be the ones that you could write on a list that you'll see on the internet. They might not be the kinds that easily come to mind. I don't know what it is for you. But we all have some habits, some things that keep us where we were and don't bring us into the life that God has for us. I don't know what it was for you that before you met the one who makes all things new, before you met the one who called your name and lifted you out of the things that happened before. I don't know what it is for you, but we all have something. Now, there are some simplistic ways to think of this. This tendency that we have to hold on to our habits from before, to look back when we're plowing, there are simplistic ways. One is that we make it very linear. The church is famous for making it so linear. They'll tell you one day you are lost and the next day you are found, and there's only a line from one to the other and there's no going back. And that is some people's story. Some people know the day and the time, the hour and the minute that it happened for them, and they turned away from what was old and they came into what's new. Some people's story is very linear. But most of us go more like in circles. We meet God and then we forget. We meet God and we say, hello, I'll see you on Tuesday. We meet God and God brings us into something new, but then we're tempted to go back and we do a circular dance more than a line dance. But we can get so simplistic in thinking about the habits that came before. We think, well, what happened before I met God? No, what happened yesterday when you weren't living with God? What was that habit that was characterizing your life when you were down in the dump and you had forgotten that God was the one who makes all things new, that God loves you beyond your wildest imagination, that God already has you covered? What were those habits? Habits of thinking, the habits of speaking to yourself. So we can do this in a very simplistic way. We might say something like, well, before when I was my old me, now I'm got it together. Before when I was my old me, I used to cuss a lot, right? Not me, I didn't cuss. I'm saying this is an example. And we might say, what I need to do is to get rid of that habit, to move me into the, oh, why are you laughing, eh? Like he acts like he heard me cuss. And I don't know. Definitely not. to move into the old life, we might say, what I need to do is I need to stop cussing. When I do that, I'll know that I'm making God happy. I'll know I've moved into what's new for me. Yeah, that might help. But Jesus is trying to get us to go deeper than the simplistic things. Jesus is trying to help us break the habit of bitterness that makes us feel like every situation requires a cuss word. Jesus is trying to break the inner strongholds that keep us doing the outer things. Amen. Jesus is trying to break the orientation that creates the behavior. Jesus is trying to break those deeper habits. Amen. I don't know what your habits are, whether it's obsessive worrying. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit for those of us who know the God who brings peace that passes understanding, who know the master of the seas, who can calm any storm. It's a bad habit. It doesn't serve us. When we know that one, it doesn't serve us to be obsessively worrying. To be constantly down on yourself, that's a bad habit. That's a bad habit for those of us who know the ones who have said, I have made you the head and not the tail. I have made you the lender and not the borrower. I've counted every hair on your head. We have no business being down on ourselves. It's a bad habit when we have walked into our kingdom life. God is trying to get us to move from the simplistic to the deeper and to walk away from these habits that we have to know that there is a new day for us. But when we put our hands on the plow and we look back, there's no way to do both at the same time. The second one, the other thing we do is a little harder, and this one is so hard for us. The second way that we try to bring our old lives into our new lives, we do all the time. I know some of y'all do it. Because if you're anything like me, then I know that you do this. One thing that we do is we fall into the error of trying to earn it. We fall into the error of trying to earn this thing that is a free gift. You know that in Jesus' day, when Jesus came to the earth, he walked into the historical context. The people he was ministering to were in a religion that relied on a complex set of laws. There were laws, there were 613 laws that Jesus' people tried to follow to make sure that they were good with God. Whether that was how they had to eat, how they had to wash their hands, what kind of sacrifice they had to bring to the temple, on what occasion. There were all these ways that they had to earn getting into God's grace, that they had to make sure they were okay with the one who made them. They were always working to do these things. And when Jesus came in, it offended them. It rubbed them the wrong way for him to say, you know what, you have been forgiven before you lift a finger. They didn't know what to do with it. It did not compute. We live in a world where we have to earn everything. Whether from when you're in school and you have to earn your seat at graduation, when you're at the job, you have to earn everything that comes your way. Some of us, unfortunately, come from families where you have to earn even the love that should be yours as your inheritance. We know, we learn early and thoroughly that this world is about earning things. So when Jesus comes into our lives, we have a hard time. It rubs us the wrong way. Some of us, we can't quite, it doesn't compute that we don't have to earn this thing, that it is a free gift. Some of us overachievers, I'll close my eyes. You can raise your hand. Anybody? Some of us who know what it's like to try every day to make this thing work. We get into this relationship with God and we don't know how to put that down. We're just always trying so hard, trying to be the perfect mother, trying to achieve in your career, trying to be a great Christian, and those things are good. You know, I mean, it's not always just to make God happy. That's there sometimes, but sometimes it's because we don't believe that we have already made God happy. We cannot accept that we have already pleased God. Jesus told us, you don't know, it has already pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. But we can't let it in. We can't accept that the grace has already covered us. And here we go trying to work so hard to earn everything because we have not accepted that in this new life, that's not how it works. Jesus has said, maybe in the old way, maybe in the world, that's the way it goes. But that is not my way. My way is different than that. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. Jesus says, this is a new way. You don't have to earn don't fall into the error of trying to earn everything. Some of us need to just shake the way we think. We go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, trying so hard as though we don't know that God has already covered it, already given it to us. It's a free gift. We can't, does not compute. But Jesus is saying that's the old way. You're looking back to the old way, and when your hand's on the plow, you can't look back that way. You're not going to do this kingdom thing right. Come on. You got to let me come in, because this thing is not about earning it. And another way, another less obvious way that we keep trying to bring what was old into what is new. This one is not for everybody. This one is not for all of us, but something that some of us do is that we keep going over old guilt. Now, this is not for everybody. Maybe there's somebody in here today who's had a pristine life, who looks back over and says, yep, that was fine, check mark, that was okay, all right, I'm good with all of that. Maybe that's your story. God bless you for that. God bless you for that. If that's your story, well, here's an insight into how it is for the rest of us. Some of us know what it's like to look back over our stories, and there's some pages that we wish we could just rip out. There are some things we wish we could just erase. We wish we had a giant eraser. We wish we could select all, delete. There's some things in our history and our stories that look ugly to us. We wish we could just turn them into something else. We wish we could rip them out of our memories. But it's ironic that many times those are the things that hold our attention the most. And when you look back over the story of your life, you can't help but see it, those things we wish didn't happen. Those places we made a wrong turn. We wish it just weren't there. Ugly spots in our memories. It's like there's a piece of trash on a beautiful beach. And every time your eyes scan the vista, all you see is that trash. It mars the whole thing. You can't even enjoy yourself because all you're seeing is the ugly spot of what's something that should be so beautiful. Many of us feel this way about our lives. We spend so much time going over what went wrong, what is not pretty about us, what didn't go right, what we messed up on, what we're so sure everybody else sees all over us, because that's what we see when we look in the mirror. We spend this time going over our guilt, ruminating over what went wrong, indulging in the feelings of inadequacy that come from the things that we think we conceive as so ugly in our stories. We do this over and over, but God is saying that is looking back. Your hands are on the plow, and this is a new day. You cannot look back and keep plowing. You can't keep bringing what was from your old life into your new. I'm trying to do a new thing in you. So I have this grudge. I had this grudge at a dry cleaner once. Because this dry cleaner, every time I would go and I would bring something with a spot on it, you know, I'm a little messy. I get spots on my clothes. And I would bring something with a spot on it. I would have a grudge against this dry cleaner. Because every time I would bring it, I would come to pick it up and the stain would be what? Still there. Maybe it'd be a little faded. Maybe it would just be the outlines, but the stain would still be there. And this was in Manhattan, and they don't believe in discounts in Manhattan. And so it would make me even angrier, and I had a grudge against this dry cleaner. But then one day, the dry cleaner changed ownership. And there was a sign outside, and it said, under new management. But I had this grudge. I was stuck in this way of thinking. So I came in, and I would take my clothes, and I would put them on the counter. I would unwrap the plastic. And I would look at the clothes and I would be looking for a stain that wasn't there. I would be searching all over, going over in my memory, where is the stain? I knew it was there. I was going over the contours of how it looked and where it was. I was looking all over the clothing for a stain that was not there, but I did not realize that the dry cleaners was under new management. And this team, they knew what they were doing. And so the stain I was looking for was no longer there. Sometimes we don't understand that our lives are under new management. This one knows what they're doing, and the stains you're looking for, they're not there anymore. Some of us keep going over the spots in our lives where we feel like things went so wrong, like everybody else can see it, but we're looking for a stain that is not there. God is saying to us, I am not thinking about what happened two decades ago. I have moved on. Can you move on with me? Stop looking back. Stop looking for a stain that's not there. Your life is under new management. And I know what I'm doing. I can get those stains out. You never have to worry about them again. They're gone. They're gone. But we, in our world that's so intent on earning it, so intent on punishing people for everything, we cannot accept that those stains are gone. God is saying today, stop looking back. Stop bringing your old life into your new. The stain is not there. Stop looking for it. It's under new management.
Amen.
It's a beautiful life that we are offered. But we find ourselves like these three gentlemen. Instead of running into Jesus' arms, Do y'all get this? Instead of running into Jesus' arms, instead of accepting the free gift that is ours, instead of all of that, we find ourselves looking back. Sometimes, like them, we have to be reminded what discipleship, what following Jesus really means. We get told so many other things. We have to be reminded, like they were today. It's not what you think. You can't do it and look back at the same time. And you don't even need to, because what's behind you, it's not nearly as beautiful as what's in front of you. Because eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the thoughts of humankind what God has prepared for those of us whom God makes new. So there's some things we have to remember today about what following Jesus actually really means. One, it means you cannot earn this thing. No matter how of an overachiever you are, how much earning things has gotten you this far in life and other areas, that's not what this is about. That's the old way. That's the world's way. That's a way that's not Jesus' way. You can't earn this thing, so stop trying so hard. The things we do, the ministry, the dreams we chase, those are not in order to get into God's arms. It's because we're already there. Because God inspires us to do these things, but you are already accepted. The other thing we have to remember is that we are utterly and totally forgiven. We spend so much time thinking our stains are the worst. They're so bad we can't even talk about them. Can't even tell your best friend about what your life was about because we're so scared that the stain is still there. Stop looking for a stain that's not there anymore. It's under new management. Things are different now. This life is different now. Stop looking back. We have to remember that we are utterly forgiven when we follow the great Redeemer, the one who makes all things new. The last thing we need to know is that this life is new. You can be made new. It doesn't matter what happened before. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You can be made new. I know you want it like they did on that road in Jerusalem this day. I know you want it because I wanted to. I know you want the new life that he's offering. That's why he came. He knew we wanted it. The good news that Jesus tells us today, the word that he uses when he says not fit, it's a hard word, right? Not fit for the kingdom of God. The word Jesus uses is euthetos. And in the Greek, it's very rich, but in the English, you can't quite get the meaning, euthetos. And then in the English, we don't know what to do with it, so we just say not fit for the kingdom of God. But this word euthetos, that's not only what it meant. It also meant it's not arranged right. It's not yet prepared for the function that it needs to do. It's not ready. This is what Jesus was telling this young man today. You're not ready to follow me because you're looking back. But the good news is we can get ready. The good news is it's not that we're not fit. It's that we're just not quite arranged yet, quite right. But God can arrange us the way God needs us for this new life. The good news is we can get ready, and we can get ready today. God is ready to make us new. Come on, don't y'all want to get ready to be made new today? You can get ready for this new life. It's there for you. This is the offer of Jesus our Lord. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet.